Christmas is a holy day, not just an ordinary holiday. It's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of all their Christmas cards. And that's why they use the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns inside the cards to confess our hope in Christ. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to see a variety of cards, including a brand new card for 2016. emmanuelpress.us. I have sent, I think, three in the last, my wife and I have been married almost 30 years, three holiday letters along with the Christmas card. The letter was the easy part. The card was really hard because there's not always a great selection out there of Christmas cards. But somebody says, in the age of social media, why do I even need to send one? Everyone's already updated on my life minute by minute, what I ate for breakfast and things like that. And pictures of the kids or the grandkids. Is there a reason to continue the tradition of sending a Christmas card? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that very question and the tradition of sending Christmas cards. Cheryl Magnus will join us here in the first few minutes of this hour. A little bit later, Dr. Ken Cherb joins us in our continuing series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, working through Luther on the Sermon on the Mount in verse 43. And then we'll round it all off today. Holly Shear will join us, author of a recent column for The Federalist, Why Santa Claus Without Jesus is Cultural Appropriation at Its Stupidness. We'll talk about incorporating the real Santa Claus, the real historical Santa Claus, into our celebration of Christ's birth. Joining us to talk about the tradition of sending Christmas cards, Cheryl Magnus. She's a writer, musician, and homeschool mom in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and author of an article for The Federalist titled, Why You Should Still Send Christmas Cards in a Digital Age. Cheryl, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Where did you come by your tradition of sending real Christmas cards?
Well, I grew up watching my mom send Christmas cards every year. She would pull out her address book and pull out the boxes of Christmas cards, spread everything out, and spend a number of hours handwriting those cards, hand addressing those cards. And so it was just a regular part of my Christmas growing up. It's something that I adopted as an adult and something I've mostly continued to do throughout my adult life.
The biggest factor probably that has contributed to the waning in that tradition, it's a family tradition. We're really talking family, large capital F, because it's your extended family and friends and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably social media, because heck, the people I would ordinarily be sending Christmas cards to with maybe a picture of the grandkid, they've seen my grandkid 1,000 times over the last couple months through social media. Talk about that.
I've heard it said by a number of people that, well, I don't send Christmas cards anymore because everybody knows what I'm doing already, because they, you know, I see them or they see me every day on Facebook. So why send a Christmas card? Why write a Christmas letter? For me, I send Christmas cards and Christmas letters to people that I see on social media, but as well to people that aren't on social media. I have relatives and friends that aren't active there, so it's a way of keeping in touch with them. But I also send cards to people that I see every day on Facebook. And I do that because I think that the Christmas card and the Christmas letter are a different kind of communication from social media. It's a different vehicle. And so I still think it's worthwhile to do because I think it brings something else into the mix that you don't get from Facebook.
Another factor here, I think, is that, and it plays into what you just talked about, how everybody already knows what's going on in my life because of social media. The content of the Christmas letter is usually expected to be, or people think it needs to be, a little missive describing everything that's happened over the last year in my family, family member by family member. My dear sainted mother, I remember how sanitized her version of her family's life would become at times in the Christmas letter. And people say, golly, that seems kind of fake to me. What's a better alternative?
Well, this year as I wrote our Christmas letter, I made the goal of keeping it only to one page because as a writer, I could certainly have gone on for 4 or 5 pages, and I could have included multiple details about what everybody is doing all through the year. And, of course, nobody wants to read my 4 to 5 page Christmas letter. And so I tried to capture a theme for the year. The theme of my letter had to do with change. Our family had gone through a number of changes this past year, and so I started from that point, briefly touched on what the family had done, but tied it back to the fact that in the midst of all of this change, that at Christmas time, it's a good time to remember that the one who doesn't change is coming to us as the babe of Bethlehem. And so I think, you know, the best Christmas letters are those that will touch on the family happenings, but will also send a broader message, and particularly for us as Christians, a Christmas message that is valuable to the people that receive the letter and the card.
Can you respond to some of the kind of more nuts and bolts objections here? And that is, look, these cards are really expensive most of the time, and the postage is really expensive. What do you say?
Exactly. Well, to that I say that while it does seem that the postal rate has gone up and up and up, if you look at it historically, just over time, the price of a stamp for a first-class letter has actually not gone up that much when you adjust for inflation. So that sort of addresses the postal cost. As far as the card cost, I think there are ways to cut the cost. If this is something that you want to do, and I understand not everybody wants to do this, but if this is something that you want to do, there are ways to do it economically. Just simply write your letter, have the 5-year-old draw a picture, go and copy it off, and that's a wonderful Christmas greeting. It doesn't have to be the expensive foil embossed card. If you go with something like a photo greeting card, those companies all run great sales at this time of year, so, you know, look for a coupon, get 50% off. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of money.
There's also an advantage, you say, in that, especially in relationship to social media, a card, you can actually pick up and handle a card. Why is that an advantage?
Well, it goes back to the title of the article, Why You Should Send Christmas Cards in a Digital Age. And I spend more time than I would prefer online these days. You know, so much of our lives are accomplished online. And so any opportunity that I can find in my life to reconnect physically with my surroundings or with the people in my life, to me, that is a great advantage. And the Christmas card is a way of doing that. You know, it's something that when it comes to you and you're holding it, you can picture the person who sent it, signing that card, holding that card, dropping it in the mailbox. It's something that you can keep and you can save. And I have boxes of old Christmas cards that, as I mentioned in the article, one of these days, when I have a little bit more time, I'll look forward to sitting in my rocking chair and going through those old Christmas cards that people have sent me over the years, thinking about those people and what they've meant to me in my life.
And all this, though this seems almost an impossibility to some of us, there are people who don't live their lives on social media, aren't there?
There certainly are. My mom was one of those. My mom passed away earlier this year. In the last few years of her life, I tried to help her with social media. It was something that she never really did quite figure out. And certainly there are not only people of the older generation, but people of yours and my generation and even younger that have decided this is not something that's important in their lives, and so this is a way to connect with them as well.
The actual purchasing of the card can sometimes be, at least in my experience, a very frustrating experience, because most of it is just sappy. Some of it, am I going to go for humor? Am I going to go for serious? And if I go for serious, I want something that's seriously theological that doesn't mess up Christmas. What are your best advice there?
Yeah, it's very hard to find cards that reflect a truly Christian message at Christmas time. I personally have gotten away from buying boxed cards. We tend to go with a photo greeting card, and then I will just write a personal letter to insert with the photo greeting card. But I know that there are companies out there, and I wish I could call to mind several right now, that have beautiful Christmas cards that have a solid Christian message. You just have to go looking for them. They're out there. You can find them.
Well, what we write in these things, sometimes it's just signed, and that's nice. You know, love, Todd and Maria, or something like that. Seems rather impersonal. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest?
Well, that is a challenge. One of the criticisms of the kind of Christmas card that we send out with a mass mailed letter is that it's impersonal. And, you know, it's true. It's very difficult. It's time-consuming just to do the cards to the extent that I do, to sit down and write, you know, 50, 75, 100 even personal messages is just something that most of us don't have the time to do. But I would say that having a Christmas card and a letter arrive in your mailbox from somebody that has been in your life, somebody that you care about, somebody that took the time to actually send that card to you, that in and of itself sends a meaningful message, and I reject the idea that that is somehow not worthwhile. I also, on our Christmas letters, which I copy and print off, I do, to the extent that I have time, try to write something at the bottom of the card that may pertain to that individual's life or, you know, something more specific to our lives that they would be interested in. But it is a challenge.
My father-in-law writes the Christmas card for himself and my mother-in-law. And he's a pastor, retired pastor. Mm-hmm. They're usually deeply theological. They're very good. He doesn't put in a lot of details about the family. They're usually pretty honest about their situation. They're getting older. You know, those are the kind of things that occupy their lives, move to assisted living, things like that. But that theme that you mentioned earlier before of it in the very short one-page way, trying to bear witness to the real comfort of Christmas never fails. I'd have to write mine if he had the time to do it. Why is that witness, especially from a Christian, to people that you may not have seen, except on social media, in 25 years, so very important?
That may be, you know, with people, extended family, far-flung family, people that maybe you only see on social media, this may be, you know, your only opportunity to witness to the importance and the power of Jesus in your life. And, you know, why would you pass up that opportunity if you had it? It's a wonderful opportunity. It's an opportunity to share the message of Christ and the message of Christmas. And that is probably the best reason and the most important reason for sending out Christmas cards at this time of year. One of the things I sometimes hesitate at as I'm going through my address book is, you know, I have friends and relatives that are not people of faith, or perhaps they are of different faiths, and I sometimes hesitate. Well, is it an insult? Is it offensive to send a Christmas card to a Jewish person? And the answer in my mind is no, because this is who I am, this is what I believe, and I think that this is a blessing and a gift that I want to share with people that I care about. So everybody gets the card.
One more thing. Our Christmas cards, ones that we receive, especially if they have pictures involved, they usually end up on the refrigerator. And they may stay there, in some cases, for years. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to the refrigerator, which is quite often, I'm staring at the faces of people that I haven't seen for a long time. What's the value of keeping them or even helping them be reminders of those persons who are far-flung now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a blessing to be able to keep those people in front of you, in your mind, on the refrigerator or on the mantle or wherever it is you display the cards, not only at Christmas time but through the year with photo greeting cards. It's an opportunity to pray for them, and certainly we all need prayers, and you know, that also is probably an even more important reason for keeping in touch via Christmas cards and photos and so forth. Staying connected to people means that we can pray for them, and that's what we need more than anything.
Cheryl Magnus is a writer, musician, and homeschool mom in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. She's author of an article for The Federalist titled Why You Should Still Send Christmas Cards in a Digital Age. Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Cheryl, thank you.
Thanks.
On the subject of Christmas cards, Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of their excellent Christmas card. You'll find themes like Adoration of the Shepherds, Virgin and Child, the Holy Family, and more. View their selection online at emmanuelpress.us. That's emmanuelpress.us. Dr. Ken Sherb joins us on the other side of the break. We're doing a long series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, walking through Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount. We will get to, well, Jesus quotes something, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, which a lot of people, even Luther, couldn't find explicitly in the Bible. We'll talk about that verse from the Sermon on the Mount after this. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
What help was ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain?
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you think about your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2016, we're approximately $78,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.